And when we're portion of the barbecue is the hour time slot, Jacobson Field has been given to fill with talent. So while eating in silent auction is going on, we'd like to have some of our folks on stage. And if you have any desire to perform, this is not begging, this is giving you an opportunity to show up. So just come right on and let me know, or George or Steve or anybody. But I'm going to fill in the time slot. So if you've got, if you want to do one number or take a whole hour, just let me know. And we'll find out.
All right. Have any announcements, by the way?
You threw a touch there on somebody like candle. Also, Wednesday night.
Somehow, some people even said we didn't know we were having anything on Wednesday nights after Easter, and we thought we had publicized it sufficiently. So we're still doing Wednesday nights, and we're studying Exodus. We'll be studying Exodus on Wednesday night. We're going to try to start. We tried last week to start at 6:30. Well, we didn't get over here until 6:40. So I made some signs up, said 6:40. If we get over here, we'll try to be through by 7:30. Start at 6:40. Try to be through by 7:30. Do a Bible study. And we'll be studying 3 and 4, chapter 3 and 4 of Exodus. And then, this list over here is where we practice. This list over here is where the people of the church turned in suggestions, ideas, dreams, and visions, following a Bible study and a prayer time that they felt God would direct this church to do, or a direction to go in. This chart here in the middle is what was turned in concerning education, discipleship. Those around the outside are the suggestions that Reverend George Estes left us over a year ago when he came in January and did a consultation. So what we did this past Wednesday night is pulled out all the cards that had something to do with education, this training disciples, and put them together and kind of organize them together in the middle of this board here. And we will continue to do that, look at education again, and then maybe move to, another area over there. I go blank now. Maybe ministry outside the church or ministry inside the church. We'll look at something this Wednesday night. The ideas, dreams, or visions that the people shared, and also we're on the orange or the yellow is what Dr. Estes brought us, and we'll be putting them in also and see what we can do. Some immediately and some be long term as you look at it. So you're going to come up and look at that. But we will be meeting here at 6:40 Wednesday night. Thank you.
As far as announcements in your bulletin, don't forget Wednesday night or before the meeting at 6:40, please fill out the RSVP if you plan on coming to have dinner with us. One note, CPWM has been rescheduled from Wednesday to this Tuesday at 7. That's basically all. We have a lot to do today, so do we have any announcements from the congregation? Any other announcements? If not, please be sure and register your attendance on the pad that Joyce has passed out. Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests this morning? Is that the one that you had mentioned in Sunday school? Okay.
The PR. Your last letter, D. I can't remember this.
Banner.
Yeah.
And of course, we all need to remember, with the Pope passing yesterday, we need to lift up him and his family. Are there others?
Joyce Thomas's mother, Dee Dee Davis. Joyce, this Dee Dee or Marie Davis has been at the nursing home for 3 or 4 years. So many of you don't know her, but she passed away early Friday morning. There will be a cremation, and then they will ship the remains back to Ohio for interment. But we talked to Joyce, and we are planning a memorial service on Saturday, the 16th of April at 2 o'clock here at the church. And this is a memorial service basically for Joyce's family and friends to come and offer their condolences, and we will have a worship service with scripture and prayer and a remembrance service at that time. So call Joyce, and we call the elders, but we didn't call everybody because they may have called you, but we didn't really call everybody because we knew that we could announce that this morning. And yesterday Joyce probably needed to rest a lot. So if you call and she can't talk to you, you understand that. She's going to try to make it, she said, back to church. Joyce made it 3 hours before Sunday. And so that's very unusual with her health. But let's Joyce and the family up in prayer.
Buddy Farrell needs to be put back on the prayer list.
Buddy Farrell.
Are there others? If not, please remember those that we have mentioned, those that are on our prayer list. Continue to lift up our armed forces wherever they may be. If you could bow your heads for a moment of silence, please. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive. If you will turn in your bulletins. Grace to you and peace from the one who is and who was and who is to come, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead. Our God is the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and was. And who is to come. We are here to worship the eternal God.
We will do.
Let's all stand. Turning our hymnal to hymn 225. Worship Christ, the risen King. Thank you.
pray together. Lord God, thank you, praise you, glory be unto you. You took a dead body and you raised it to new life. Christ died for our sins, a perfect life, without sin, without spot or blemish, sacrifice for us. Lord, we come this morning to thank you for allowing that to happen. And Lord, we come rejoicing that death could not hold it, that the grave could not contain it, that you raised him up to new life, eternal life. Lord, we thank you that he does reign, that he is the King of creation, the King of today. Lord, praise be unto you for your marvelous works. We pray in the name of this risen Jesus, praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It is page 716 in your hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
The Gospel according to Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 22. While they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take it. This is my body." When he had taken a cup and given thanks and gave it to them, and they all drank from it, and he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Thus the reading of the Mark's account of Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper as a way of us remembering that sacrifice that He made for us. You're invited to eat and drink from the Lord's table today as a testimony, a proclamation of what Christ has done, and a proclamation of your faith in Him. What elders are present this morning? Steve, Teresa, Sam, Roger. David, Roger. Roger, would you come and assist? This is not this church's table. No, this is not this denomination's table. This is the Lord's table. So, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're invited to join us as we remember His sacrifice for us. Lord God, we thank You for this bread. We remember that when Jesus instituted this supper, that He offered a prayer of thanks. We thank You for the meaning behind this particular bread, the broken body of Jesus. And through the breaking of His body and the suffering associated with it, our sins are paid for. Our sins. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Lord God, for the fruit of the vine that fills this cup, it represents Your blood. We thank You for refreshment for every day and nourishment. But Lord, we thank You for this cup. And we remember why we celebrate Jesus' shed blood. And through it, our sins are forgiven. Thank You. Amen. Having been blessed by our Lord Jesus Christ, may I share that blessing with you. And you having been blessed, will you share that blessing with this people of God?
We thank you and humbly serve in Jesus' name.
We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Could I have our ushers come forward at this time?
Let us pray.
Lord God, again, we acknowledge your gifts to us, your blessings, the material necessities of life, and then much that is luxury. Lord, we come thanking you for an opportunity to return a portion of the work of your kingdom. In Jesus' name.
We read this morning from Exodus 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals. For the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel, and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery in Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed towards this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters. And so you will plunder the Egyptians. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
If you've ever wondered where did the Israelites, if they were slaves, get all of the gold and I guess silver too to make the, it might have been only gold to make the golden calf. That's where it came from. The Egyptian women gave their gold and jewels to the Israelite women before they departed. And they asked for it, and the Israelite women gave it to them. I'd like to think about this passage this morning, but also chapter 4. If you would like to really get into Exodus, go back and start at chapter 1. And that story of Moses, of his birth, and how he was spared, and then spared from death, and then go on and read the second chapter, and why Moses was working for his father-in-law and tending sheep. And then chapter 3 is about God calling Moses. And chapter 4 is about God giving Moses power. And during the sermon this morning, we will speak concerning Moses and his helper. We'll get into chapter 4. Moses called to service. You read chapter 3 and you'll see that. If you reread it, you might come up with additional titles this morning concerning Moses. One thing, 3 and 4, I came up with 3 objections to the call of God. We read about people won't know who sent them. 3 objections to the call of God. Or another title that came to my mind, maybe God revealed it to me, that might fit this morning. 3 reasons I can't do it. Another one came to mind. Lord, I'm not your man. Can you find that in that chapter 3? Lord, I'm not your man. And then another one that came a little later. The reluctant witness. Or you could use that phrase, the reluctant servant. And as you get to looking, you might discover other titles that would describe Moses' response to God's call to service. God had a job he wanted done. And he called an 80-year-old Moses to do it. Or we think he was 80 at this time. God had heard the groanings of his people. They were sojourners, if you will, or they were slaves. They had become slaves in Egypt. And they had come to Egypt a long time ago when Jacob was still living. And you have to go back to Genesis to read that story. About chapter 35 and following, you find Joseph, one of Jacob's sons. And you know how he got over to Egypt, sold by his brothers. But then his brothers got hungry, and they ended up going to Egypt where there was food. And Joseph was in charge of the food in Egypt. So he invites his brothers to go back and bring his father and all the rest of these descendants of Abraham to live in Egypt. They lived there a long time. They were in much favor with the Egyptian leaders, but those leaders died, and you know, two races living in the same community, they don't get along sometimes. And the Egyptians became fearful of the Israelites, and they took measures to put them under tough conditions. They made life hard for them. They were slaves and they were hurting. They were groaning. God heard their groaning, and God chose Moses to lead his people. There were about 70 who had gone there, but in the 400 years, there were about 600,000 or three times that many or more, according to who writes the commentary about. Now, if you will, I'm asking that we put this in context of today, of the work to be done. The work to be done in this community, if you will. The work to be done through this congregation. Or we might say tasks that are to be performed. Jobs that are to be done, tasks that are to be performed. That God wants done. God wants people freed from Satan. God wants people freed from sin today. And He's called the church to lead people to salvation. He's got a job to be done. And He has called us to do it. So put Moses' experience in the context of today. And then if you will, bring it home to this particular church, but then go down to you as an individual. God has a job to be done and He needs you to do it. Can you conceive of that? Can you conceive of God using you for His kingdom, some job to be done? And it might not be of the magnitude that He called Moses, but still a job for God. Maybe God has a job that He wants done. And He just has you in mind to do it. Can you think of one that He has you in mind to do? through our discerning process, I can think of some jobs that some people have been called to do by God, and they've responded. Moses' job to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. One thing we can know about Moses is he was qualified. God don't call us to do jobs that we are not qualified to do or that we cannot become qualified to do. If we're not qualified when He calls us, we can become qualified. He can qualify us to do the job. If it's to be a preacher, there are ways that we can be trained in the Word of God and in dealing with people. But that's not the only thing God calls people to do. I'm thinking of Karen. Karen wants to do a library. And she's already qualified to do a library. So she already works in a library. And we're just waiting for a room to come open where Karen can fulfill that job. Moses was qualified because he had been raised in Pharaoh's court. And being raised in Pharaoh's court, he knew how to deal with Egyptian officials. So he was raised as the child of one of the Pharaoh's daughters. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen is giving his great sermon, right before he was stoned, he mentioned Moses and how he had been trained in Pharaoh's court. We might know that this was a job for God. The God of Moses' ancestors. And when God calls us to do a job, we might take note that it's a holy work. And when God called Moses, and Moses approached God, called him to that burning bush, Moses was instructed to take his shoes off because it was holy ground that he was walking on. And when we go to work for God, it's not a common work. It's holy. And then there were three objections that Moses offered. And I think these objections are so personal to each of us as God calls us to do something. One objection that Moses offered is the first one, and in chapter 3, is, "Who will I tell them sent me?" And God gave him the answer, "Just tell them that the I Am sent you. I am who I am, and the I Am sent me." But you know, Moses was so afraid that these people were going to say, "Who sent you?" And God gave him an answer, but I can't find that the people ever asked, "Who sent you?" So as I look at this, I see this is a fear that Moses had that was unfounded. The people didn't ask that question. So he didn't even have to have an answer. But I did find in chapter 31, chapter 4, verse 31, and I'm reading from the Message translation. "And the people trusted and listened believingly that God was concerned with what was going on with the Israelites and knew all about their affliction, they bowed low and worshiped Him. And if I have overlooked the people asking that question who sent you, please find it and share it with me. Because I'm subject to overlooking, and I say that very seriously. And I hesitated even to share that statement because I didn't go through every verse of the Bible, and that was kind of one of the inspirations, or I felt it was the inspiration that I received this week. That though Moses was so concerned about what the people were going to ask him, and he was basically throwing up smoke screens. They never asked. And I found that verse in chapter 4. They believingly trusted that God had sent Moses. And God cared. The people listened. Now, later, as you read, they got on the road, and they got hungry, and they got thirsty, and they got cantankerous. And Moses got cantankerous right back with them. But before they left, I can't find where they ever asked that question. But Moses had an answer if they did. Number two. They won't have to get to chapter 4 to read this. They won't trust me. The first objection was, who do I tell them sent me? The second objection was, God, they won't trust me. And so he said, what is that in your hand? And he said, it's a staff. If you want to turn in your Bible, he said, what is that in your hand? And Moses said, a staff. And God said, throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground. Or he said, he threw it. And it became a snake. And Moses jumped back fast. You would too, wouldn't you? I would too. And God said to Moses, reach out and grab it by the tail. I'd objected to that, wouldn't you? I'd say, Lord, I don't want to pick him up by the tail. Reach out and grab him by the tail. And he reached out and grabbed it. And when he grabbed it, he was holding his staff again. And that's so. Verse 5, chapter 4, verse 5 says, and this is the paraphrase of the Message. That's so, or that is so, they will trust that God appeared to you, the God of their fathers, and then the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then God gave you something else to help the people, to use to help the people trust Him. Do you know what that was? Chapter 4. So put your hand inside your shirt. So Moses slipped his hand in his shirt. And then he took it out. And it says his hand had turned leprous, like snow. Then God said, put your hand back in under your shirt. And he did it. And then he took it back out. And it was as healthy as before. That's chapter 4, verse 7. And then said, so they will trust you. If they still don't trust you, a rod turning to a staff, turning to a snake, and then back to a staff, that's one miracle. But if they still don't trust you, here's what I can do. But there is another piece of evidence that will help them trust you. So if they don't trust you and aren't convinced by the first sign, the second sign should do it. But if it doesn't, if even after these two signs they don't trust you, and they won't listen to your message, take some water out of the Nile, that's the river, and pour it out on dry ground. The Nile water that you pour out will turn to blood when it hits the ground. And most of us would say, well, Moses was convinced. Moses said, okay, if God will do all that and promise me all that, I'll go. But the very next verse, verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10, says, Moses raised another objection to God. Another objection. Said, Master, please, I don't talk well. I've never been good with words. Neither before nor after you spoke to me. I stutter and stammer. And I like God's answer. Beautiful, beautiful. God said, and who do you think made the human mouth? And who makes some mute and some deaf, some sighted and some blind? Isn't it I, God? So get going. I think God was getting impatient with it, wasn't he? So get going. I'll be right there with you. And that may be the most important phrase in this passage. I will be right there with you. Dash, dash, with your mouth. I'll be right there to teach you what to say. And then Moses said, verse 13, oh, Master, please, send somebody else. God might have been impatient back in a previous verse, but verse 14 says, and God got angry with Moses. Don't you have a brother, Aaron, the Levite? He's good with words. I know he is. He speaks very well. In fact, at this very moment, he's on his way to meet you. When he sees you, he's going to be glad. You'll speak to him and tell him what to say. I'll be right there with you as you speak, and with him as he speaks, teaching you step by step. See, God is right there with us when he calls us to do a job. He doesn't hang us out to dry, so to speak. He goes with us. Now take your staff in your hand. You'll use it to do the signs. Are not these personal objections? Are not every one of them objections that we might make? They won't trust me. Or who will I tell them I'm working for? Or I don't talk too well. It wasn't an easy task. Pharaoh would be stubborn. I think the important point is in chapter 3, verse 12. And I've already said it, but let me say it again. God says, I will be with you. And I'm wondering if our job is not just as important in today's world as Moses' job was in his world. Moses was freeing his people from Egypt. We're freeing our people from Satan. And if we're going to do this, we need a real close walk with God. But we need Him to be with us. So let's think about that. I believe it's 380. In the first two verses are just a close walk with Him. Now, when we walk close to Him, we expect Him to give us a job to do. It's just not out for a leisure stroll. 380.
We're going to look at this passage again Wednesday night. Be warned, if you come, God may call you to do a job. And I believe that He'll have an answer for every objection that we might raise. Lord, send us forth, being Your people, being open to Your call. Lord, help us to recognize the burning bushes through which You need to speak to us, and You're able to speak to us if we'll pause and listen and recognize that it's holy ground. Help us to honor You and to glorify You. And this week to lead someone to a salvation experience. In Jesus' name, amen.
Suffer 2 or 3 days.
I would have too.
You golf any? You ever golf any? How are you doing? Yeah. Good to see you. Thank you.
We will take this in my head. I'm telling you.
I thought
cool. Yeah.
Okay.
You okay, Miss Melanie?
Yeah.
Okay.
That seems to be the thing these days, to be tired. So you're right with everybody else.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And they want to leave.
Oh, okay.